bright shining light for Jesus every day, every day. As we come together, thanking God for another wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. As you see the title of the lesson, is every word, every word. We must take in consideration that as Jesus, after being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, that he still understood that it was by every word of God that he should live. He understood his purpose in life. He understood his place in the kingdom. But as we see in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Satan did not care. Does he care about us today? Absolutely not. Your well-being is not his well-being. Your victory is not his victory. But because of Jesus, all that he went through, we can overcome any and every obstacle that is set before us. Every word. Let's go back and read verses 1 through 4 again in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Every word. Now I want you to think about your last doctor's appointment where you had to fast. Quit eating around 9 or 10 o'clock that night, and I know that's hard for some, just to have your blood work done on the next day. Well, your appointment is at 8 o'clock, but the doctor don't see you to 10. What's going on with your body? The person sitting next to you in the waiting room, hopefully his family, because your stomach is growling. You're having these missed meal pains, these cramps, and you're hungry. And that's after only 12 hours. But our Lord and our Savior fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. How do you think he felt? He was a man. How do you think he felt? Yeah, he was divine in nature, but he became flesh. He ate just like everyone else ate. Bible says he was hungry. Now, when you come out of that doctor's appointment, oh, you probably took your bag of snacks with you. I know some of you. Or you stopped at the nearest McDonald's or the nearest Krispy Kreme donuts and you got your fill. But when Jesus came out of the wilderness, you know who met him? Satan. And it wasn't with food. He said, "These stones, if you be the Son of God," he said, "you command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus knew better. He knew who sent him to this earth. He knew why he was sent to this earth. He knew who his father was, who son he was. He knew these things. And so he answered him, as many of us do not answer today, "It is written." We'd much rather give our opinion on things instead of God's word. Well, this is how I feel, or this is what I think. You know, you should do this. But you said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. So what has God told us to do? What has God told us to do? Jesus is our example. We should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not by bread alone. Not by bread alone. So it's important that we understand this. It's important that we put this into practice in our lives, and we look at not just the temptation of Jesus, but we look at what Jesus was tempted with as he was hungered, as he came out of that wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights. I know I just have 40 days right here, but it's 40 days and 40 nights. And the reason that's so significant is because you look back at the time that Moses fasted, it says that he fasted 40 days. Jesus wants one up on him. He went 40 days and 40 nights. Many of us can't do that. We cannot go on a 40 day and 40 night fast because we're going to cheat somewhere down the line.
Amen.
Well, I'm on a 30 day fast, and it's showing in many of us. Or when you fast, it shows in many of you. But you cheat somewhere. You say, well, you know, I'm on my 10th day. But you know what I did yesterday? I cheated a little bit. You know, and some of y'all may have never fasted before, and some have, and you understand what I'm saying, because you know, you get hungry. And yeah, you have given up those things, but yet, you no one is looking. No one is looking. See, when you fast, it's not between you and man, it's between you and God.
Yeah.
It's that you're praying to him, you're doing what he wants you to do. The son wasn't busy out doing his own thing. He was out doing what the father wanted him to do. This fasting that he went through was for a reason. And we see when he come out of the wilderness what the reason is really about. That he could defend Satan.
Yeah.
We can't defend him today because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. But Jesus, his focus was on God. His focus was on God. See, 1 or 2 days, you know, we're terrible now. We're not going to make it to that third day. I can see it already. You smell your mom or dad or whoever's in the kitchen, your wife, your husband, your children in the kitchen cooking, and you're supposed to be on a fast because it's not a family thing. It's an individual thing. But yet, I can't take it no more. That chicken smells good. Have some. Fish, smells good. Them beans, them peas, those greens, all that smell good. I cannot last another day. So you cave in. Jesus didn't cave in. He could have very well. I need this bread. I'm hungry. But he didn't do it, did he? He didn't do it. He went to the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Are we able to do that today? Are we able to go to the word of God and show what God desires of us, what God expects of us? Are we able to go to the word of God today? And many of us can say yes, and many others can say no, because we don't open up our Bibles the way we're supposed to. Our study habits are few and far between. This is how we study God's word. Well, I wonder what God wants me to read today. Eyes closed, and you open your book and you look and say, oh, okay, Jeremiah chapter 10. I guess that's where I'll be. That's not good study habits. Let's not do it what God wants you to do. You're not going to be able to use Jeremiah probably in the situation that you're coming against, because Jeremiah, as we read through the book of Jeremiah and we talk about him being the weeping prophet and we look at those things, Jeremiah, the situation that he's going through or that he's talking about, he's prophesying about, may not have anything to do with what you're going through on this day. But if you would have had a regular study plan, maybe you would have had the right scripture in order to defeat the devil. Jesus had the right scripture. He had the word of God. What do we have today? Bible says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. That's why we're able to move today. To have our very being. to have the activity of our limbs, not because of what we ate last night, but because of who we serve.
Amen.
We serve a living God. And He desires the best for us. He wants the best for us. He has laid out the best for us. But what we have to do is we have to dig deep in His treasures and find out what the best is. That's to live according to His word. Every word. Every word. The word of God must be preached on any Bible subject. Any Bible subject. If you have a problem in dealing with God's word, let's go to the word of God. Let's see what it talks about. Let's get an understanding from His word how we're supposed to live our lives. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Start with verse 1 there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes to the preacher Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears unto the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch therefore in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." And now we really could have stopped right there with the first two verses. But I wanted you to see exactly what Paul wrote to Timothy and get an understanding the way many people do today as they try to twist the word of God and say, you can do it this way or you can do it that way and God will take care of you. The world has nothing to offer us. God has already offered it all up on the cruel cross of Calvary, and we must accept that. He says again in verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. With the teachings of our Lord, this is what we must use in order to defeat the devil, the word of God." We have to study it. We have to study it on a regular basis to understand what He wants us to do. That you cannot use just one point of truth according to one's agenda. You know, a lot of people, I see where you're going with this. Let me see, can I find a scripture somewhere in order to defeat you? A lot of times what we do when we try to prove people wrong, yeah, we win. We win that argument, but what about the battle? Where is this person? You know, a lot of times we come on to people too strong. We come on with them with this all I'm mightier than you attitude. And they can't stand that. They're not going to put up with it. So let's make sure that we use the whole counsel of God in order to show people what they must do. This is what we must do today. We must preach the whole counsel of God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. As you're teaching people, trying to get them to turn their ways away from evil to do good. Paul says here, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Not just some of it. He said, but all of it. I'm teaching you all of it because I want you to live right. I want you to do the things that are pleasing unto God. I want you to understand how you must live your lives. I want you to understand what you must give up. I want you to understand what you must hold on to. The whole counsel of God, the good and the bad. This is what we need. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How are you going to know what to say? How are you going to know how to act? How are you going to know how to behave yourself or conduct yourself when someone comes to you with a question out of God's word, which should be a simple question? In many cases, it is. And I say it should be a simple question because we have the book. All we have to do is go back to the book and get a refresher of what we've already studied. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write this down in order for you and I to live according to it. So let's go to the book and see what the book says. If it's a Bible question, it should be a Bible answer. If it's a question dealing with nonsense, then let's let it stay at that and say, no, we're not going to worry about that today. Let's go back to the Word and let's see what the Word says, and let's do the things that God is pleased with. James chapter 2, verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. One part, he says. You want to keep the whole law, but yet you offend in one? He said, you're guilty of the whole thing. You know, many of us are going to miss heaven because of one thing. One thing. You have to name that thing that you're doing that's going to make you miss heaven. And if you're not doing anything that's going to make you miss heaven, keep doing what you're doing. But if you're doing something that's going to cause you not to get in, not to be told, enter in, my good and faithful servant, stop doing those things. Stop doing those things. By every word. You know what we're going to be judged by? Every word. Every word. Do you know the word? Do you know what the word can do for you? Do you know what the word has already done for you? The word, again, believe it or not, is going to judge us. Let's look at some facts about the word of God. This is not anything that is made up. These are facts. These are things that we must put into practice. These are things that we can say, hey, I can go to the bank with this because I know it's true. I can open it up and I can teach anybody anywhere because the word of God will never, ever change. Amen. It is powerful. It is powerful. You think the word of God has lost its power? From the very beginning when God said, let there be light. You think the word of God has lost its power? When God said, you know, this is my son whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. You think the word of God has lost its power? Here in the book of Romans chapter 1 in the verses 16 where Paul speaks and he tells you about the power of the word. Romans 1, 16. We back up actually to verse 15. Romans 1, 15 and verse 16. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Why is he ready to preach the gospel? Why come he can say, I'm ready to give you my opinion on some things. He could have very well said that. But that's not what the Spirit wanted him to say. That's not what the Spirit wanted him to do. That's not the will of the Father. He said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word of God is powerful. It's his word. He's a powerful God. No other God can stand before him. No other God can do what he has done. No other God can destroy both man, both soul and body in hell. No other God can do that. Only the living God can do that. So we must rest in what the word says. Every word. Every word. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verses 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verses 12. See, many times as we hear the word of God and we try to use the word of God, we have to be careful. Because as we're using the word of God and we're preaching and we're teaching the word of God, we forget sometimes that the word that we're preaching and the word that we're teaching is for us as well. But the writer of Hebrews did not forget that. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It cuts to the heart. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The word of God cut them to the heart. It pricked them to their heart. Peter did not hold back the word of God from them. He told them exactly what they had done. They had crucified Jesus Christ, whom God had raised and made him both Lord and Christ over their lives. They were pricked in their hearts. That's how powerful the word of God is. Yes, I start from myself to the back door, because I want everybody to understand that the word of God is for them. We fall short sometimes, but we don't have to stay down. We can get up. Sometimes we're doing what we're supposed to do, and we need to continue to do those things. We have to look at the word of God, and we have to use it the way God intended for it to be used. And he still intends for it to be used today. And that is to save people from their sins. Must rightly divide the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. See, this is an individual effort. Now, I can't divide the word for you. You can't divide the word for me. Paul, as he writes to Timothy once again, he tells him, Timothy being a young preacher, he tells him, study, 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 study. Anywhere in Scripture, as you find after the book of Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, anywhere in Scripture, actually, let's go back to the book of John, and you find out what Jesus told the apostles there, that he would send back another comforter unto them that would guide them into all truth, bring back to remembrance the things in which he had taught them. And now you know what we are commanded to do. We're not commanded anywhere in Scripture to wait upon the Spirit to tell us what to do or what to say. Unless it comes from the pages of the book that is called the Bible. He tells us there again, study, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to rightly divide it. If you get these mixed up, why are you getting them mixed up? Is it because of the way you've been taught, or is it the way you have been studying? See, we have to know that Moses was told to part the Red Sea. We have to know that Noah was told to build the ark. We have to know that the commandments that was given up on Mount Sinai was for the children of Israel. We have to know today, when you hear repent and be baptized, it is for mankind everywhere. Paul said it again there in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It's for the Jew first and also to the Greek. We have to rightly divide the word of God. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. We have to know that the word of God, it affects us. It affects us. It should affect us in a good way. It should affect us into the point of saying, you know, my life is not what it needs to be. I need to turn. Because of what the word of God said. Without the word of God, would we have ever known what salvation is about? No. We would not have. Without the word of God. It says in Isaiah 66 verse 1 and 2. Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things had mine hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now, he's a powerful God. And when you look in the word, and as Isaiah is prophesying to the people, and the people have seen the things in which God said, as they've seen those things come to pass, it should cause them to tremble. And it should cause us today to tremble at the word of God, which says that we will be destroyed if we do not obey him. We will be cast into outer darkness in the end. It should cause us to tremble. I'm not telling you to have some type of special feeling, but I'm telling you that you need to reverence God because he is powerful. He is God. And when we realize that, and when we begin to live like he wants us to live, then there will be great results. There'll be great results. We find in the book of Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 32, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 32, as the word of God is being taught, again, the word of God, and have to keep stressing that, because it's not the word of men, it's the word of God. It's not what he said, she said, it's what thus said the Lord. As we find Philip being led to the chariot of the eunuch here from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 32, the Bible doesn't say that Philip went there as he was led there and just told the eunuch what he wanted to tell him. It says, no, he preached unto him Jesus, the word of God. That's what he preached unto him. And as he preached this unto him, it says there, let's just drop down to verse 31 and 32. It says, and he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. He didn't open his mouth. And so it brings the question, who was he talking about? Who was he talking about? And so we find, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He continued to use the word of God, didn't he? And preached unto him Jesus. So we need to heed this example. That when we come up on someone and we ask them, do they understand what they're reading? And they say, no, I don't. We take them from the passage in which they're reading. We may not understand what they're reading, but, you know, we even have to go back and study. Well, let me go back and study that for a minute or two, or for a day or two, and I get back with you on that scripture. But have you heard about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you heard that God sent him to this earth in order to be crucified for the sins of the world? Have you heard that baptism is what saves you? Have you heard about those things? Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 33. Acts chapter 10, verse 33. He says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done, that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to bear all things that are commanded thee of God. What is Peter going to preach? He's going to preach the word of God. To the house of Cornelius. He's going to preach the word of God. And I believe today, once again, as we look at people and we look at the word of God, we have to say, they need, or we need, the word of God. And we need to continue to preach it. We need to continue to look at the examples throughout scripture and continue to preach what the Bible says. Acts 20:32. Why do we need to continue to preach the word of God? It builds one up. Builds one up. Do we need to be built up? Do we need to be encouraged? It's by the word of God that we find our encouragement. It's by the word of God that we find what we need to do and why we need to do those things. It says in verse 32 of Acts chapter 20, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. All of them that have been set apart. You have an inheritance. But it's by the word of God that I would like to build you up. Now, how many times have you went to hear some preacher preach and he never opens his Bible, and not because he studied his lesson, and not because he's memorized scripture, he never opens his Bible because he doesn't have the word of God. He don't want you to know the truth. He want to tell you how he feels. Oh, why don't you do it like this? Why don't you do it like that? Going back again to 2 Timothy chapter 4. They heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. A man that never tells you about salvation is a man you don't need. A man that never tells you about sin is a man you don't need. Amen. A man that never tells you about the good things that God is pleased with that you're doing in your life is a man that you don't need. You don't need that type of person. You need a person that is going to tell you about sin. You need a person that's going to tell you about the goodness of our God. It's the type of person we need. John chapter 12, verse 48. What does the Word of God do? The Word of God judges us. You know, that's what people always say. Now, don't judge me. It's not me that's judging you. It's the Word of God. Because we use a righteous judgment. And it's by the Word of God that we use this judgment. When we tell a person, if you do not change, you are going to hell. If you don't change. Now, if you do change, there's hope for you. Because the Bible said, if the righteous are scarcely saved. So there's hope for you. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejected me and received not my words had one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What are you going to be judged by? Is it going to be by Brother Thanopoulos' words? Brother Pack's words? No, you're going to be judged by the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God. And that's a good thing. Because if you're going to be judged by some man, you know, man has partiality. Oh, hey, you did almost right, so come on. You have interest in. You? Nah, I don't like you. See, God is not a respecter of person.
Amen.
He's going to judge us by His Word. By what we have done according to His Word is how we're going to be judged. That is a good thing. That is a good thing. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. What does the Word of God do for us? It tells us, we've already read that, where it is used to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's the Word of God. If man wrote this book with his own thoughts, how sweet would it be? It all depends on that man. It all depends on that man. You know, maybe he's a man that believed that there's not a heaven. So therefore, he's not going to tell you about all the things that's going to cause you to go to hell. He's not going to tell you those things because he said, just live the way you want to live. Everything's going to be okay. You know, you find that man that has been a Christian all his life, but yet he gets to the point where he decides that God's word is not true. You wouldn't want that man to write a book and tell you how to live. But God is the author of this book. So therefore, we must abide by it. We must live according to it. We must continue to do all things that God is pleased with. And we look at Titus chapter 1, and the verse is 9. Titus chapter 1, and the verse is 9. Talked about the men that lead us, the men that continue to do what is right. He says, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to continue the gainsayers. Those individuals that are listening to the Word of God, those individuals that are under their leadership, that they may continue to listen, to be exhorted and convinced that the Word of God is true and we must live by it. If you're here on this morning, you understand that the word that you're reading is the Word of God. You understand what God desires of you. You understand what God would have you to do in order to be saved. Which the scriptures are very clear. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned or damned. It's just that simple. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. See, God wants us to be obedient to His word. So maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. There's only one Christian. The Bible makes Christians. There's not a Christian with a handle on it or a prefix. Bible only makes Christians. Because we do things the way the Bible tells us to do them. If you look at the Word of God and you say, hey, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you just saying that to yourself, it's not doing you any good. You have to confess that before men.
Amen.
So that opportunity is given to you to come this morning to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after that confession, we prepare you to be baptized, immersed in the watery grave, where you come in contact with the blood of the Lamb. It's just that simple. Once you come out of that water, the Bible tells us to walk a newness of life. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Are we going to make mistakes along the way? Yes. But the book of 1 John chapter 1 tells us, if you confess your faults, that God is just to forgive you.
Amen.
He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. That's the type of God we serve. He's powerful. The Word of God is what we need this morning. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.